Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
With the start of every new year, we always have high hopes and dreams for change and improvement in our lives. We want our lives to be better. We want to find ourselves in a better place, a better version of ourselves. We know that our lives could be better. We know that we could be better. And yet, despite our good and sometimes even very best of intentions, we fall and fail. And as we've been saying in the course of this series, one of the major reasons we don't make the progress that we'd like to make is because we think too big. Instead of thinking in terms of huge changes that we're going to make and the outsized accomplishments that we're going to accomplish, we might be more successful thinking smaller, little tiny deposits in the right direction. Instead of great big, bold, impressive resolutions, how about this year we think instead of modest little habits? Habits. Habits, unlike resolutions, are not about a single accomplishment, often a distant future, but about how we're living our lives today. Part of what we've tried to help you achieve in the course of this series is the formation of habits, at least one positive habit in any area of your life that can take you in the right direction. Doesn't even necessarily have to be a spiritual habit, because any good habit can impact us spiritually. Any growth is in part spiritual growth, because when we have the discipline to form a good habit, we grow in character. And that's a spiritual exercise. Habits. Habits are what we've been talking about in this series. A habit is a practice undertaken regularly and routinely with little or no effort of the mind or will. It's automatic. It's an automatic response. In fact, we are creatures of habit. We love habits. We love habits because they allow us to grow in our skills and abilities, creating a virtuous cycle of growth that can, in turn, lead to more good habits. Habits make life easier. They just do. That's why studies show that 40 to 50% of all of our daily behavior is made up of habits. To leverage habits in their power, it's important to understand how they work. And how they work is a simple pattern or template, a habit loop that goes usually like this. Cue, routine, reward. Cue, routine, reward. In all of our habits, there's some cue or trigger in our environment that tells our brain to go into automatic mode and which habit to use. That leads to a routine that we've previously established. It can be physical, mental, emotional. And finally, there is a reward at the end of the routine, which helps the brain figure out if the pattern is worth repeating, because what gets rewarded gets repeated. And over time, this loop, cue, routine, reward, becomes more and more automatic. Our habits make a huge impact on our lives. They just do. However, our current habits don't have to determine our destiny. We're not bound to them. We can change habits. We can form different habits and new habits, better habits. Better habits that can lead to a better future. And in that sense, habits can be seen as a gift from God. It's our habits that God will often use to draw us closer to himself and to his will for our lives. 2 weeks ago, we talked about identity. To help us develop healthy habits, we have to recognize the importance of identity. Every time we perform a habit, we're casting a vote. We're casting a vote for our new identity. And we become more and more to see ourselves or think of ourselves as someone who prays, or someone who works out, or someone who journals, or someone who eats healthy, or someone who wants to be kinder. Whatever habit you're trying to achieve, it's part of our identity. Last week, we talked about the importance of belief. We talked about believing that our good and great habits can actually serve God's purpose in our lives. We believe that God is for us, granting us the grace we need when we seek it to form habits. Well, as we close out this series, I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge a major source for this material. I don't want to shock you, but I didn't make all this stuff up. I actually got it from other people, and if you'd like to know more or go deeper, you can check out a book I like a lot. It's called Atomic Habits, Tiny Changes, Remarkable Results by a fellow named James Clear. It's a great read. Well, as we wrap up today, we want to look at one other factor when it comes to forming healthy habits, and it's a big one, it's an important one, it's perhaps the critical one. We're going to look at the importance of outside support when it comes to establishing a habit. Specifically, we're going to look at the importance of community, accountability, and other people in developing habits. And I'll just go ahead and show my hand from the outset and acknowledge this week also brings our annual small group launch weekend with a goal of recruiting 300 adult and young adult small group members, brand new members. And I'll talk about that in a moment. You know, as human beings, we're created for community. We want to fit in. That's just part of our basic need. For most of human history, our ancestors lived in tribes. We needed one another simply to survive. Becoming separated from the tribe was a death sentence. On the other hand, those who learned to collaborate and improvise together most effectively, most successfully, prevailed throughout history. We might not feel the same need to belong to a tribe for mere survival, but the need to be connected is still there, and it runs deep. And our habits often are affected by our relationships. Habits become much more attractive when they help us fit in, when they're valued by the people around us. One of the very best things you can do to develop and hold on to a habit is to have accountability partners, where your new behavior is considered preferred behavior. Now, if you're here today, if you're joining us this morning, my guess is that you have goals in terms of success. When it comes to raising your kids or grandkids, forming your family, managing your finances, managing your health, building friendships, producing at work, achieving goals at home, and beyond all of these obvious worldly successes that we can all name, there's personal growth, there's growth in character. We all want that, regardless of our stage or state in life. And then there's a desire for significance, for a life of significance, for a life that is connected to significance. We want a life that connects to a greater meaning and purpose. We all want that. And that is just more successfully sustained with support. You know what? Jesus knew that too. And Jesus leveraged this need for community from the very beginning of his ministry, which we read about this morning in the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So Jesus hears that John the Baptist has been arrested. John was the forerunner to Jesus. He prepared the way of the Lord. So when Jesus hears that he's been arrested, it's a sign to him that his time has come. Up until this point, he's lived a quiet life in obscurity in Nazareth. But now, with John's arrest, he knows that it's time for him to get to work, launching his mission and ministry. And to begin his ministry, he begins with a very simple message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That word repent has a negative connotation in our culture for some, but the word really means something quite positive. It means a change in thinking about things in our life that are not working or not working as they could or should. And more than a change in thinking, a change in living. Repent means to change our thinking about the way things are not working and then to change our direction to get things going more effectively and more successfully. That's what he's talking about. He says, repent, change your thinking, change your direction. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that mean? Well, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God were phrases that Jesus used all the time. They're the most common phrases in his preaching and teaching. They're central to the message of his teaching, especially in Matthew's gospel. The kingdom of heaven refers to the definitive intervention of God into human history, which is the coming of Christ himself. Change your mind. Change your hearts, change your lives, change your habits, because with the coming of Christ, the world has changed. So Jesus calls individuals to repent and change, but he doesn't call them in isolation. He begins to fashion a community in which they can undertake this exercise. Take a look. As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother, Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and followed him. Jesus calls James and John, he calls Peter and Andrew out of their obscurity to follow him into significance. They leave behind their work, their livelihood, their friends, and their family to follow the Lord in his work of changing the world. They step out of obscurity into greater significance. Now, let me ask you a question. What group in your current experience is supporting you in a larger sense of significance that you could be a part of? Who in your life is reinforcing your identity as part of something bigger that God has in mind for you? What group or groups are helping you to connect your habits to that higher purpose? Because that's what we're talking about when we're talking about small groups. Small groups are not another churchy church program for churchy church people. It's about life change. That's what we're talking about. And a few other facts about small groups. Small groups are small. There are usually 6 to 10 members in a group, any less, and there's too much pressure to talk any more, and there's too little opportunity to do so. Small groups are a small commitment. Depending upon the group, they meet anywhere from 1 to 2 hours a week. If you sign up now, today, you can join us in a group just for Lent. And give it a limited 6-week try. No obligations, no worries, no commitment beyond the 6-week trial period. And small groups are entirely accessible. You can find a group meeting virtually any time of the week. Morning groups, evening groups, lunchtime groups, weekend groups, and all different kinds of groups. Men's groups, women's groups, moms groups. We have groups meeting throughout the community and beyond. Bel Air, Falston, Parkton, Reisterstown, Catonsville, Clarksville, Westminster, Canton, Federal Hill, not to mention online groups too. In fact, our online community is actually our area of fastest growth when it comes to our small group program. The format for groups is simple as can be. Usually it begins casually with informal conversation, what's going on in your life, what's happening in your week. Then the leader opens with a brief opening prayer. And by the way, you will never, never, ever be asked to pray out loud, or even to talk if you don't want to. Your level of participation is determined by you and your level of comfort. We watch a video that we produce here in-house on the same subject as the weekend message that I preach here at Mass, but from a little different perspective and a different voice from our staff. The group then steps into conversation around the topic, prompted by questions that we provide, and then the leader closes in prayer. And then you're done. You go on with your day. It's all as incredibly simple and incredibly helpful as that. You know, our weekend worship and our weekly small groups are like two sides of the same coin. Think about it. On the weekend, you sit in rows and you listen to me. In small groups, you sit in a circle and you listen to your peers. On the weekend, I get the conversation going and take it wherever I want to take it. In small groups, you keep the conversation going and you take it where you want to take it and apply it as you need to apply it. Once you join a group, you don't have to reinforce your new identity and your new beliefs all alone and on your own. You have others supporting that identity. When you're weak, they can be strong. When you struggle to believe, they can believe for you. When you're looking for support or care or direction, they can provide it. We like to say that when it comes to small groups, it's where our great big church gets up close, personal, and small. So if you're not in a group, today's your day. Head out to the concourse after Mass and look for our small group ministers and leaders. They're the people in the black Under Armour shirts. They can answer your questions, and if you like, they can get you started and sign you up. In today's second reading, St. Paul speaks quite eloquently in saying, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind, in the same purpose. Simple habits, like a simple commitment to a small group, can bring unity and purpose. We believe that. We believe that our growth and transformation can develop and will be strengthened through such simple habits. And we believe that's important because the reason for habits is not just to accomplish something, but to become something.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.